Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our fall membership drive. More about that in a moment. A campus as large and as old as Ohio State University surely harbors its share of ghosts, or at least ghost stories. From the campus underground tunnels to the human ashes sealed inside the walls of Bricker Hall, and the elephant reportedly buried somewhere on the West Campus, there's plenty of fodder for spooky legends. If you have a story, share it this hour as we consider the more famous haunts and spooky legends of Columbus and OSU. Doreen Juha-Sauer and Tom Betty of the Columbus Landmarks Foundation both guide historic tours of Columbus and together have co-authored several books about the city, including Historic Columbus Taverns, the capital city's most storied saloons, and Historic Hotels of Columbus, Ohio. And I want to welcome them back to the show. Welcome back, Doreen.
Thank you.
And welcome back, Tom.
Well, thank you.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. This is our fall membership drive. Remember, listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. For a membership donation of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, you can get a very special offer available for this hour only. Get two tickets for a WOSU public media exclusive haunted tour of the Ohio State University. You and your guest will walk the grounds of OSU on Monday evening, October 30th. The tour will be hosted by Doreen Juha-Sauer and Tom Betty from the Columbus Landmarks Foundation and my guest this hour. The tour includes legends, ghost stories, and great architectural details. The tour will conclude with a haunted-themed reception at the OSU Faculty Club with a hot chocolate bar, a hot cider bar, finger foods, and haunt-themed music. And parking is provided. This will be a great evening with other WOSU members, and I'll be joining you. But we have a very limited number of tickets for this tour, and once they are gone, they are gone. That's two tickets for a special haunted tour of OSU on October 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. with a reception afterward at the OSU Faculty Club. That's $10 a month as a sustaining member. The membership will be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Again, 866-897-9678. Make that call right away. There are a limited number of tickets to this, and we hope you can join us on this. So it's sure to be a very, very fun night. So anyways, Doreen Juha-Sauer and Tom Betty, it is a huge campus. It's very old. What are the highlights? What do you think about when you think of OSU?
Well, actually, I think about things that are haunted, but that seems natural for it. I think about really the heritage and the history, and that's kind of how the ghost stories and the legends start. And it's kind of hard sometimes to distinguish between just a good old-fashioned grisly story, which is probably not true, and made-up ghost story and that kind of college urban legend. And actually, one or two that are pretty authentic. So we're going to be a little bit on campus and maybe a little bit off campus because some of these things take place off of campus. And since I live off campus in the neighborhood, I know quite a few.
Did either of you attend Ohio State?
Yeah, all my degrees are from here.
Yeah?
I did not. I took a couple classes, but that's all.
So when you were a student, Doreen, did you hear stories?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I had come in as a transfer student from another college. And so, it's almost a rite of passage. You start kind of knowing the geography of the area by the things that you hear in the rooming houses at the time that were around. The medical college certainly had enough of them. I was living on South Campus. And then Oxley, Bricker, they're all sort of bound together, each having their own special story.
If I may, I'm a sustaining member, and Doreen and I very much support public radio. And our ghost tours that we have every October for Columbus Landmarks Foundation, they sell out very, very quickly. And we decided to put together this special tour for WOSU members to become sustaining members before we actually have tickets available for our regular tours, which will be available on columbuslandmarks.org October 1st. So I just wanted to say that, as you said, it's a very special tour for WOSU members. And, you know, we are a community and we support public radio.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-9678. I'm sorry, 614-292-8513, or check out our email at allsides@wosu.org. We want to hear if you've had a paranormal experience at any college you've ever gone to, particularly Ohio State, and call us and tell us what you know. Do you believe in ghosts? Do you ever think you've seen one? Give us a call and share your stories. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org.
Bricker, I think my statistics class comes back to my memory and haunts me every day. it was the last class until I graduated undergrad. And, of course, it was the only class that I didn't do well in. And
it's a toughie
so,
now. A lot of
statistics definitely haunts me.
Well, and it's funny you should sort of say that, because I think that a lot of the stories are associated with suicides on campus. And oddly enough, there seem to be more professors who've committed suicide than there have been students.
Really?
And I'm not to make light of suicide
of
by any
not.
Mean, but it is just thinking of it as a genre, a type of folklore. It's almost as if there were wishful thinking on the part of students, like maybe students in statistics, as to who is not going to survive the term. And they seem to swirl around a lot around Mirror Lake and Pomeroy Hall, and that's also not far from the medical college. And in trying to do what we've always done at Landmarks is not accept the story per se that we hear as folklore, but treat it as folklore. Does it have a base in some reality? We are usually pretty good, and we have a great educational team behind us at Landmarks who kind of start to research out and find out if there are stories indeed that have some basis. So some of the earliest stories of actually Otterbein, Ohio Wesleyan, Ohio State, all start in that kind of early golden period of college career, the late 19th century. And if you think about it, that's probably the first time, unless you went to boarding school, that you are not only on your own, but you're in an intergenerational the gap. You are there with your professors. You know, there's a distance between you. So you form your sort of own folklore and legends around your age group. And I have come to believe that the professors in the late 19th century were part of this by feeding those stories to students. And they often dealt with Underground Railroad in any of the colleges and around here, or they dealt with sort of the cautionary tales, especially for young girls. And they just start actually being able to, you start to trace them. 1899, they were still having a riot against OSU Medical College for what they believed were body snatching and hiding stolen corpses. Those are the resurrectionists. And so, you know, it's not far-fetched to start making up stories from here.
Thanks to Blake Nelson in Columbus for your support of 89.7 NPR News. I hope, Blake, that we're going to see you on the tour on October 30th. This hour of All Sides is about interesting places in Columbus with the Landmarks Foundation, and this is our fall membership drive. Support a talk show that is truly local. And for this hour only, we're offering you a very special thank you gift. For $10 a month as a sustainer, you can get two tickets for a WOSU Public Media exclusive haunted tour of OSU. This walking tour explores OSU legends, sightings, and urban folklore. You just heard Doreen Sauer-Juhas describe a little bit about where these stories sometimes come from. The walking tour explores OSU legends, sightings, urban folklore. You take a lovely autumn walk, see great architecture, hear a collection of stories worth telling your next out-of-town visitor. And in fact, if you have somebody visiting that day, this would be a perfect gift for them. Join WOSU and 89.7 NPR News members on Monday, October 30th at 6 p.m. when the guided tour begins at Thomas Thompson Library. There's free parking and about a one-hour tour. The tour ends at the OSU Faculty Club with a really neat reception planned in the Grand Lounge with hot chocolate, cider, and finger foods. And if, from what I understand, there's also going to be some maybe some hauntingly beautiful music from the Baby Grand Piano there. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind experience for WOSU members only. You will be spending a fun evening with public radio members and fans of all sides. That's $10 a month as a sustainer for two tickets or a one-time gift of $120. And we have a limited number of tickets, so get that gift in early if you want to go. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Thanks to Alicia Donatone in Dublin for your pledge of support. Hope to see you on the tour. And it does make a great gift. I know there's been people over the years since we started doing these events that say they were given the tickets as a gift because they're big fans of the show or they love whatever topic it is that you're exploring on the tours.
Right. And I think that the collection of stories, you know, as I say, when we walk along, they'll kind of fall into groupings. And we're pretty honest about which ones we know are made up, but they've come to us over time, and which ones do seem to be indeed mysterious. But a lot of it starts because Bricker Hall in the 1950s was already burying the ashes of a Board of Trustees member that it arrived on a desk. And so they put him in a niche in the Bricker Hall and put a little plaque there. And then it seems as if from the 1950s on, this kind of kicked off some other activities. But actually on campus, in and around, really only known to custodial staff and others, when ashes arrive from former alumni and others who want to stay, you know, that's where they want to be connected. That's where they felt their strongest fellowship, is that they're just very quietly buried on campus. So when you're walking along or throwing that frisbee, hey, they're all around you.
I would imagine that's the case. I'm not, you know, given the devotion of the Buckeye Nation to its campus, I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised now that you mention it.
Right. And I just don't want to know if they're little scarlet and gray sort of containers for ashes. I'm still reeling from the fact that there are rosaries sold in the neighborhood that are made out of Buckeyes. And as my husband says, what do you do when Notre Dame plays? You know, like, does it work?
That's great. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you have a story about an urban legend about Ohio State, come on, we know you guys went there, or most of you did. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What's the deal with Mack Hall? What do we know about Mack Hall?
Well, a lot of these go back into time where, being close to the medical college, there's almost always the story of the student who comes in who's been working late and whatnot and has reached up to pull the pull chain. Remember when lights had pull chains and it was just the bare bulb above? Mm-hmm. And you pulled it and somebody, as a prank, had attached an arm, a severed arm to it from a cadaver from the medical school. And the student went insane. And
literally or figuratively?
Literally went insane. The one who pulled the
hand
just freaked out and went insane and forever haunts the building. Oh. You know, I sort of, having lived around in an intergenerational community for years, I would think you'd only freak out if there wasn't a pizza attached to it, you know? So I have sort of a different view of many of these stories. But so the ones
That's
around that immediate
yeah.
there, the ones that get really kind of funny and absurd are the Orton Hall ones. I love the fact that, you know, there is Dr. Orton is somehow, and by the way, his death was rather sudden. People just weren't expecting it. And I think that's always harder to accept,
yeah,
that he's up in there, you know, in the playing the organ, you know, up in the tower. And of course, that building was built really as by his son as a memorial to him. But when you get down to the point where the little museum on the first floor supposedly has a Cro-Magnon man running around, you know, that comes out at night, I find that one far more absurd. And somehow a Cro-Magnon man and the ghost of Dr. Orton just don't jive for such a beautiful building. They just don't quite make it.
And the OSU library, also we've heard lots of stories that the OSU library also is very haunted by very dedicated librarians that just don't want to leave. And there's a lot of really good stories in a book by one of our colleagues, Nellie Catman, And her book is titled A Haunted History of Columbus, Ohio, that you can pick up and read more about some of the more crazy stories in Columbus history.
Thanks to Cynthia Hall and Powell for your support, and thanks to Heather DeForno in Columbus for your support. I hope we see you on October 30th at the special tour of the OSU campus. It's an hour-long tour with my guests, Tom Betty and Doreen Uhas-Sauer of Columbus Landmarks Foundation. It's a very special tour for WOSU members only, and it's going to include me and I hope several other WOSU staff, on-air people. I'm going to try to get as many people as I can to go so you could meet those kind of folks. And a lot of these events, it's just a lot of fun to hang out with other WOSU fans. I guess you guys have probably noticed that in the previous tours you've done, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. And every time you say finger foods, I just laugh because it just seems so appropriate.
Yeah,
but
I really
don't want to think about it. To play off what Tom had said, though, in the library, I mean, there's a good example. Whether the library was the original library without the tower or as it is now, it's a place in which people are coming and going, coming and going. And so there are other people who are in the library. And it was always notorious to studying there that you could meet some rather interesting people. We'll leave it at that. I'll try to not say the word creepy. And
okay.
and so the stories are kind of born out of that, I think, for just the fact that it is a large campus. And like many campuses, it attracts a number of people. I mean, that is also the background of why we can tell a story, and I won't do it here, of Dr. Swango and Jeffrey Dahmer and Edward Jackson and the 22 caliber killers and, you know, Dr. Snook. You know, this is a part of the history.
These are all OSU.
They all swirl around this geography. So we used to call, in the 70s, we used to call High Street the Devil's Vortex, and that was the president of the Business Association at the time. So, but that's a whole other genre, but we'll share some of those.
Yeah, we should have a murder mystery tour.
Oh, yes. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our membership drive, our fall membership drive. Support the in-depth conversations we bring you every day. You only find this kind of news and information on public radio. Support the station at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. This is a very special time to become a member. Because for this hour only, we have a great thank you gift for $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. You get two tickets to take a haunted walking tour of Ohio State University with the Columbus Landmarks Foundation. This event is Monday, October 30th. It will be perfect for getting you into the Halloween mood. Don't miss this chance. We have a limited number of tickets, so if you want to go, make that gift of $10 a month as a sustainer and secure your tickets right now. WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. If you have maybe a child who's going off to OSU next fall, maybe this would be a really fun way to celebrate their acceptance, their early acceptance, I would imagine, at OSU. Maybe you have a student who's attending OSU right now. What a fun thing to do. And it's, you know, it's a pretty easy. The tour begins at 6 p.m. at the Thompson Library. We just heard about some possible stories coming out of that and includes several stops and stories about urban folklore of the campus. The tour concludes with a haunted-themed reception at the OSU Faculty Club, complete with a hot cider bar, a hot chocolate bar, and finger foods, which kind of creeps out my guest, Doreen Uhas-Sauer, but be that as it may. We'll even have some haunted-themed music being played on the faculty club's baby grand piano. This is truly a one-of-a-kind of experience. I'm going to join you. I can't wait. For 89.7 NPR News members, that's two tickets for $120 as a one-time gift, or come on board for $10 a month as a sustainer. Get your tickets now at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
One of the most haunted places on campus, and this brings up the question of whether these things transfer to a new building or not, was the old University Hall, for those people who remember it.
Where is it gone
right
now?
Right where the University Hall is today. That is a facsimile, a three-quarter facsimile of the old one, which was the original building for Ohio State. And when I came in the 60s to there, it was just a lot of history classes were in there, and it was kind of a weird building. It was a little like Harry Potter on steroids. You know, there was
wow.
there was enough of the history faculty who already could be sort of interesting, and who one in particular who kept a rope in his desk drawer to let himself down in case there was a fire in the building, and you know, just attached to the desk,
okay,
you know, leg,
sign
and then
of the times,
and
yeah.
then hang down, right?
But, was he living or was he? Deceased?
He was living,
okay.
But he was. But it was, the building was atmospheric because even the Scarlet Mask, which was the theater group on campus, went up, did performances in a small auditorium.
Ah.
And the participants in the cast and the audience all learned to duck at certain times because it was filled with bats. And so in the middle of a performance, bats would come swooping down on you. And after a while, you just sort of took it as like, okay, here it comes. You want it one more time.
But I love that.
The whole building had little tiny doors, and they were beautifully carved, and they were on stairways, and they were on sort of landings and whatnot. And they had a little tiny doorknob, and used to drive me crazy, like, what the heck is behind there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, heck with this history course. I want to know what's behind that door.
Yeah.
And one day, one was left open. Well, they were electrical panel doors, a la 1880s, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just a beautifully carved door to get to the plumbing or to get to the electricity.
Access
panels.
Right.
But the building itself had a lot of stories associated with it because it was also a dormitory that the faculty lived in, and so did the students at the same time. So now you've got this differentiation between various generations, and I am sure that in order to keep their privacy, that OSU faculty probably had a few good stories to tell about what happened in that part of the building, and just as students would have two incoming freshmen living in a rooming house off campus, don't go there because...
Yeah.
And so they... When I say these become cautionary tales, I think those are pretty easily seen. But there's another aspect to this. In the 19th century, you know, life is a little more prescribed. You don't fail at business. You don't fail at life. You don't fail at marriage. You don't have a child out of wedlock. And so when these things happen, there are suicides that are connected. There are mysterious burials, and we do know them for a fact. And some of them are in the houses on South Campus, especially. And then the story arises. And in a few cases, I have to say that's the closest that I've ever come to believing.
Wow. That's quite a statement coming from Doreen.
A rational human.
I'm kind of speechless with that
but
one.
But you're a little more
I'm a little
impressionable.
Bit more skeptical.
You're a little more impressionable, I thought.
No, yeah, I'm a little bit more skeptical.
Oh, I don't know.
You know,
I'm
a historian.
So.
Nothing's ever happened to me. I'm a historian.
That's not true. I know
facts.
Something's happened to you. You've talked about
mm-hmm.
it.
Well, yeah, I guess.
There's a guy
so.
In the Hartman condo.
Exactly.
Your, right, come on.
I never forget that story.
Right. If I could segue really quick to an important point to what Columbus Landmarks does. And what Doreen and I do,
okay?
Because the building that
out of it.
The building that Doreen just talked about is no longer there. And what Columbus Landmarks Foundation is all about is celebrating our great city's history, advocating historic preservation and saving buildings, and promoting new and innovative design and architecture. More importantly, we make those three things fun and entertaining, as well as interesting and educational. So that's what we're all about. We're in our 40th year. This is our 40th anniversary this year. And I just felt like I needed to plug that and remind people.
And get off the hot seat.
And remind people that historic preservation and history can be fun, especially when we do tavern tours and we have alcohol involved. And with these ghost stories in the month of October are a lot of fun, and we enjoy giving them.
There's no reason why we can't go hit a bar afterwards, though.
So. Right. Absolutely. So going back to the theater.
The premiere level, you know, you can have us for the whole night if
right.
you'd like.
Going back to the theater of the absurd for a moment.
Thank you, Doreen.
You know, the fact that there are tunnels on campus and they connect various buildings and their utility tunnels, but there are other tunnels. And we do know from one particular segment coming down 15th Avenue, there is a tunnel. In fact, it goes through two or three of the other basements, or at least in part of some of the houses that are on 15th that led to the river. And we do have some bona fide Underground Railroad stories. I know those are the kind of the romantic legends, but these are pretty traceable. You do have a whole other sort of connection for stories that come to you. So that one of the houses on campus has over the years reportedly seen a little girl appears in the hallway. And then she just kind of vanishes silently into a wall. Yeah. And what's interesting about it is, having been around long enough to know that the story, there's versions that come down through the fraternity boys themselves. And as I've cautioned them, lay off the Ouija board. You don't know what you're finding. But they don't know the stories. I can tell from what they say. They don't know the stories that have come down to them from other generations of that. But I've got the stories from the neighborhood who also kind of know. And then you start to piece it together. And you start to wonder, you know, that you can sort of speculate. And considering the house has, what do I want to say, false room dividers, okay, where you're walking down a hallway that is much longer than the rooms on either side are long, there are places, and it was on the Underground Railroad, and there are spaces in the house, so-called dead spaces, but behind walls and whatnot, you just start to speculate, because this is also not a child who appears who can be connected with anything else variable. And this is not the fraternity that's nearby in which everybody had played pranks for so long and hazing episodes that supposedly somebody died during all of that. And that becomes almost sadly ludicrous. And somewhat on campus, it is more than just old buildings that make noise. Pomerine Hall has a much heavier track record of things that are unexplained. And that's close to Mirror Lake and close to a suicide of a Professor Clark who failed at business and in unwise investments. And that was a shame he didn't want to bring on his family.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Do you have a scary story to tell, a spooky story, I should say, about OSU? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us today are local historians Doreen Uhas-Sauer and Tom Betty from the Columbus Landmarks Foundation. They are going to host our special thank you gift for this hour. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, and you will get two tickets for Monday, October 30th at 6 p.m. to take a special walking haunted tour of OSU's campus, plus a fun haunted-themed reception at the end. That's $10 a month as a sustainer right now. Don't miss this opportunity. We have a limited number of tickets. Make a gift of $10 a month, which can be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to your credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Now, we have 26 minutes left, I believe, in the hour, and I'd like to see 15 pledges by the end of the hour. That would make it, you know, perfect. It would be the perfect number. 15 pledges. Be one of the 15. Don't wait until the last minute for this special event. It's free parking. All you have to do is show up. It's a great opportunity to see OSU's campus. Bring somebody who's decided, well, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I was going to say, bring somebody who's planning on attending OSU. That, I don't know if that's a wise idea or not. But if you have a student at OSU, it might be a blast to share something like this with them. Thanks to Kimberly Fraser and Plain City for your support. We'll see you on the tour. Who else are we going to see on the tour? The number is 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and make that show of support right now. If you can't manage the tour this time, that's fine. There'll be more in the future. Give what you can. Show your support at whatever level you can. This is a great time of the year, you know. When I tell people it's membership drive week, they go, oh, you know, sometimes it never fails. At least one person will kind of exude sympathy for me. I don't want your sympathy. I love membership drive. I love to put it out there and see how people stick with WOSU and show their support for WOSU. This is a celebratory period. It's a celebratory time for WOSU. It's not a time to feel shy about asking for your help, shy about asking you to show your support. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Maybe you're an OSU student. You don't have a lot of money. Understood. But can you manage $5 a month? Can you manage a $60 one-time pledge? That's what we're asking for. Maybe just a few dollars a month is all you could manage. Do what you can. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And thanks to Joanne Claire Mayer in Columbus for your support. We've got some callers.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Let's see. Logan in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Logan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, so there's this warehouse. Do you know where Skate Naked is by the airport?
Yeah, by the airport, yeah.
There's a warehouse that's in the same building as Skate Naked, and I shot music videos there. And multiple times during the shooting, everyone kind of had the same feeling that there's a little girl running around the warehouse area in the back. And no one really said anything until one person brought it up, and then everyone kind of had mentioned the same thing had happened. And then I brought it up to the landowner or the property owner, and I was just like, hey, we kind of heard some stuff. And he's like a little girl in the back, and apparently it's been going on for like 40 years.
What? So it was like it sounded like someone running around giggling or something like that?
Everyone kind of saw a little person, a little like girl running around in the back.
Wow.
But mostly it was footsteps that were coming through like back behind a bunch of, you know, stuff, shelves and stuff like that.
Did that give you the creeps, or what did it make you feel like?
Well, it gave me the creeps once one person mentioned it, and all of us looked at each other and knew that everyone had kind of the same feeling going on.
Did anyone go back and look for her?
No one had the ability to do that. Really. I'm on the radio, so I can't say that. But
I'm just curious
very
what
delicately
skate
put, Logan.
Naked okay. is, Logan.
it's a skate park. It's an indoor skate park.
Where you're naked?
No. It's a cool title. Okay. That would be nice, though.
Yeah, it is an eye catcher, though. Okay, well, Logan, thanks a lot for sharing that. Wow. Okay.
You know, that's kind of sad when Tom doesn't know what it is and you and I do, Ann.
I don't. I've never heard of it.
You caught Tom's attention, Logan.
I think the whole idea of children as ghosts has always been a really kind of a fascinating piece because we see it in other places in Columbus, and sometimes it portends completely other things that have happened there. And children who appear without eyes, for instance, they turn around and there's no eyes.
Yeah.
You know, that has its own sort of meaning. And what's funny is you start to almost take a little bit more credibility with those when you go back and you match it again to the periods of time in which people felt there was a reason to cover up a death of some sort, or there was a warning in some way, or children are much more apt to be prey to adults.
Yeah. Right. Logan, thanks a lot.
So much. I'm a longtime listener, so thank you.
Thank you. If you have a story about what's about a haunting, about an apparent haunting, about anything to do with hauntingly good stories about OSU campus, give us a call, 614-292-8513.
Well, you know, maybe this is the perfect time for students to invite their parents down for this. It's a Monday night, so the drinking should have stopped by then. And then mom and dad could pick up the cost of the tickets, because you know they will, and they'll take you out to dinner. So, or
that's
grocery store
idea.
Shopping. Right?
That's a great idea to take you to grocery store. Thanks to Marianne Kafer in Columbus for your support. Marianne writes, in honor of Ann's 8-year anniversary. Oh. It is my 8-year anniversary on the air today.
There we go. Lots of anniversaries today.
Yeah.
40 years of Columbus Landmarks and 8 years
today?
Of
Ann
no,
Fisher.
Not today.
Not okay.
This year.
No, Tom is just a professional, you know, promoter.
Extrapolator.
Right.
Yes. Well, it is my 8-year anniversary today. So if you enjoy the show and want to celebrate that,
you need to pledge in honor of Ann's 8-year anniversary on this show.
Absolutely.
Today.
You know, $10 a month is 2 Starbucks coffees a month
yeah.
that you can give up to support this station.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you want to think about what does $10 a month, how easy do you spend $10 a month otherwise, and think about that. You can spread it out over 12 payments. You can become a sustaining member. There's lots of ways to make it affordable. It's going to be an experience. It's not more stuff. It's experience with a lot of other WOSU fans to go on this OSU Haunted Tour. And you're going to have Tom Petty and Doreen Juha-Sauer to hang out with, too. And they're pretty much a blast. If you have a question or comment for them about the tour, about OSU, give us a call. About Columbus and Haunted Columbus, 'tis the season. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Thank you to Kenny Jackson in Westerville for your support. Kenny writes, I could only take 2 days of guilt. I listened too much not to give. Thank you, Kenny. You know, we just ask a few times a year, and really, if you think about how much you listen to WOSU and 89.7 NPR News, you know, I mean, before I came to work here, I listened all the time, too. And I always felt this kind of uplifting feeling after I had finally picked up the phone, you know, went online or however I gave. It just was like this feeling of relief. And I still kept listening during the entire pledge drive. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, with questions or comments. But if you would like to show your support, give us a call, too. Go to 1-866-897-9678, or you can go online to WOSU.org. We have 12 calls to go to make this hour a success and 12 minutes to go. So 12 minutes and 12 calls. I know we can do it. Just pick up the phone. It takes just 2 minutes. And, oh, by the way, we have real-life Central Ohioans, two walls away, picking up those calls if you do make the call, and they'll answer any of the questions you might have about the tour or whatever questions you might have about showing your support for 89.7 NPR News. This is how they show their support. They donate their time. Other people can't do that. Other people can't afford to do it either. So think about what you're doing for your community. You're investing in your own time. You're investing in your community. And you could be investing in a really fun event on October 30th. So go ahead.
I will tell you that around this time, every single year, and Doreen and I have been partners for about 13 years now, I get cornered in the grocery store on people saying, when are the ghost tour tickets going to be available? When are the ghost tour tickets going to be available? And we are doing a special thing with WOSU to support public radio and allowing this tour to be before the regular tour tickets for October 1st. It will be available on columbuslandmarks.org. We're having it available today in early September for folks. So this is very special. And all of our Columbus Landmarks fans that are listening, I hope that you can support WOSU and come on this tour for us.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. Thanks to Paige and Paxton Liptak in Columbus for your support. 11 calls left now and 15 minutes left. I misspoke earlier. It's 15 minutes left. Yay, we have more time than I thought. 11 calls left. I know we can do 11 calls in 15 minutes. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. You're going to have a blast if you can join us for the tour. Brian and Bexley, you're on the air. Hi, Brian.
Good morning. I have I went to OSU. I'm one of the many alumni, mm-hmm. and I was there in the early to mid-90s. And I spent a lot of time in the main library, a lot of time studying because it was
good
quiet.
For you.
I could always find.
Did you pay your library fees, Brian?
So I spent a lot of time studying in the library.
Did you wear garlic around your neck?
I should have, I suppose. I would go off. I like the upper floors where you could just be nice and quiet and alone. And I heard some stories, and I had the same thing happen to me a number of times in different places in the library where I was sitting and just sitting, you know, studying, you're lost in your work. Mm-hmm. And someone, I would feel a hand very lightly on my left shoulder, just very lightly, like someone wanted to get your attention. And of course, I would turn and look. There was nobody there. Mm-hmm. And you know, after the first couple times, I thought, well, you know, because you hear the stories. And then a friend of mine, a classmate, I studied with her a lot. I told her about it. And, of course, she was completely skeptical. So we started going together to study at the library, and it took a number of months, but we were sitting there just sort of across from each other on the table. And she sort of yelped a little bit and looked up and, you know, jerked her head around really quick. And I looked up and I was like, "Are you okay?" And she was white, no pun intended. She was white as a ghost. And she just looked at me. She goes, "I felt it." Same thing. Someone had placed a hand on her shoulder. She didn't even wait for me. She gathered her books together. She's out. She never went back in there again.
You would go back there, though.
I did. Yeah. And I'm not particularly a believer. And I don't know. I can't tell you what I was experiencing, but I didn't feel it was freaky, but I didn't feel threatened or anything like that. So I don't know. It just didn't bother me. And then I had a couple of other friends over the years. One had an experience in Orton while he was in there working. And
same kind of experience, or?
No, he saw something. It wasn't a Cro-Mag man.
Oh, thank goodness.
But he saw, like, someone walking in the book stacks when, you know, there shouldn't have been someone there. And he went to look, and there was no one there. And then there used to be the old Armory building.
The one where the Wexner Center sits today. Yeah,
yeah,
it was on High Street.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I've had some people tell me they said something about the old, you know, the Armory. And I think someone had leapt from the parapets or something from that.
Well, you know, I hear those stories more from Ohio Stadium. But, I'm not surprised that somebody would have said that. Yeah, because it had towers and a parapet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very much castle-looking. So,
right.
But anyway, that was my story. It happened to me at least a half dozen times
Wow.
in the library. Yeah.
Yay you for going back.
Yeah, and I thank you for sharing that, because I think what Tom and I have found, whether we're doing this tour or we're doing other tours with Landmarks, it's the people who sort of approach you with a quiet story, you know, and also say, "I wasn't particularly alarmed, I just knew it was unusual," that you start to find it's much more credible, because that is actually people who study this will say, you are really just encountering something that you're momentarily puzzled about. And once you think it could be out of the ordinary, it could be just another presence from another time period. I have a friend who calls it like having the curtain pulled back for a moment.
Yeah.
You're okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, so thank you.
Brian, thanks a lot for that call. Yeah, Tom, Betty.
And if it's happening in the library, they're probably intelligent ghosts, and we should ask them to help us with our statistics homework.
I used to develop a tactic. There are enough stories in the library to fill a library, but generally it was my self-defense against the many times I was studying there, and someone would approach, and I could see that they were coming my way, probably with an inappropriate question that I always looked down at my watch and said, 2:00. That's the time.
Thanks to Hugo Toledo and Hilliard for your support, and also Hannah Moore in Reynoldsburg for your support. That means we have just 9 more calls to go in just about 12 minutes, maybe closer to 11 minutes. 9 calls in 11 minutes. I know we can make it. Keep the operators who are donating their time, volunteering over there to take your calls, keep them busy. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Maybe you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher often. If you do, then you know that we work hard to bring you a diverse range of topics, from news of the day to long-term trends. You're going to hear about it all on this show. And we work just as hard to bring you interesting shows during our membership drive, shows just like this with interesting people who can tell us lots of interesting things about the world in which we live. Doreen Uhassauer and Tom Betty of the Columbus Landmarks Foundation are joining us today. Our goal over time is to bring you all sides of the issues that matter to you. This is something that only happens on public radio. To support local programming that is truly local, go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And once again, just to tell you about the haunted tour of the Ohio State University, it's on October 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. It includes legends, ghost stories, great architecture with our guides, Tom Betty and Doreen Newhouse-Sauer, right here with me in the bar. It concludes with a haunted-themed reception at the OSU Faculty Club with a hot chocolate bar, a hot cider bar, finger foods, and haunted-themed music. And parking is provided. And every time I say finger foods, that gives Doreen the willies. This will be a great evening with other WOSU members. And believe me, it's really, really fun to see other WOSU members get together who haven't known each other before. Thanks to Jillian Wheat in Columbus and Mariah Black in Canal Winchester for your support. We'll see you on the tour. So excited. 7 calls left in just about 8 minutes, maybe 8 or 9 minutes. Give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Chris in Dayton, you're on the air. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I used to have a haunted vintage clothing store.
Oh, I know where this was.
From the OSU Law School, yeah. The unicorn on Chittenden High.
Right, right. Know it well.
And one of my friends who worked there used to say she kept getting pushed down the stairs.
Yee.
And I said, no, you just tripped. She said, no, I felt hands shoving me. Well, there was one room upstairs none of us liked. We used it for a sewing room. And one day I sent a friend of mine up there without telling her anything about it, just to see what she would feel, because I knew she was kind of sensitive. And she was very upset with me. She said, there's a man in black in the closet. So I wanted to find out more about this. And I spoke to the guy who did maintenance around there. And I said, what's the history? He said, well, there was a doctor had his offices on the main floor, and he lived upstairs. And in fact, he died in that back room.
Hmm.
So it wasn't much fun some days. But
did you ever see the man?
I did not, but I would hear his footsteps. He walked around at night, and he would come up the stairs. I actually called the police one night, and they came, and they're like, "Oh yeah, all your doors are locked, and you heard someone." Yeah. So they didn't believe me, but
weird.
It was interesting.
Yeah, this is interesting because I had forgotten completely about that. And
did you know about this place?
I did know this place. Oh, hey, listen, I'm old, Anne. I know this place. And first of all, I want to congratulate you for being a sympathetic employer. Yeah, go upstairs. I won't tell you why.
Well, she wasn't working for me. She was just a friend.
Oh, oh better. Yeah.
For being a good friend, then. Let us rephrase that.
Right.
For being a good friend. And it's funny because in that whole little area there were a number of the doctor's offices that would have been associated with the early, or dentist's offices with early Ohio State University, and what we now see as a medical complex. In fact, one of the first women doctors was had her residence and office there that later became Tradewinds, that was Libby Gregory's first place. Yeah. And so those places all had just wonderful, wonderful stories with them. But the other thing that's really interesting is the high number of stories that will come out of vintage clothing places. And the clothing itself is a conductor for people.
Yes. We always said we brought the ghost in with clothes. Yes.
Yes.
Interesting.
And so you can go into places. I know there's, I won't mention the name, but a place other than by Ohio State, where Tom and I would often stop with people, and we would do this night after night, and it was just kind of a nice little throwaway. Although it was always had some of the best stories, and we didn't say a thing to people, but we watched just the booth where the vintage clothing was, and it changed almost every night. The position of the mannequins, the hands, the weapon. And this is like any other vintage store. You know, you're not going to dust or change every single day. In fact, the owner is probably not even there. There's just the person who's selling for a number of merchants. And it gives and here's the other piece, too. It's the Old Players Theater. It's where costumes are stored. And that the story of the ghost will move if moving storage containers are used to transport the clothing from one spot to another, which is why we don't believe that the ghosts of the Players Theater ever made it to the Verne Reif Center, because they were not transported in storage containers.
Interesting.
And usually when we do these tours, I mean, there's some folks that show up with tricorders and they take this very seriously. And we look at it more as we're historians and we're presenting, we're storytellers, and we're telling stories that we've heard.
Uh-huh.
Every once in a while, actually more than once in a while, you have stories that are connected to real events, which that's really exciting as a historian. You could, you know, find the
you could find the kernel of truth,
and,
kind of a thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But normally, the joke is that Doreen and I, you know, are like ghost repellent. When we walk into a place, all the ghosts, you know, just go out to lunch or go for a smoke. But one of our tours, this was a couple years ago, was at the Ringside Cafe in the alley by the Rhodes Tower. And we were talking, and that place has a lot of activity. One of the owners was talking about, sometimes the door over the women's restroom, by the ceiling, sometimes it opens at weird times and whatever. And as he was saying this, it couldn't have been planned better. I mean, we didn't plan it, but everybody was looking up at it, and all of a sudden this door just started opening, and it was very scary. That was one of the few times where I'm like, wow, yeah, this is kind of...
Chris in Dayton, thank you so much for that call. That was a great story. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Mary Martha Fudge in Columbus and Judy Edwards in Granville for your support. We have 5 calls to go and just 3 minutes now. 5 calls in 3 minutes. I
give
know
up
we can
your
do
Starbucks
it.
Coffee and donate.
Poor Starbucks gets beaten up a lot, but it is, you know, kind of a way to try to gauge how you value something and what matters to you. $10 a month, you know, is what does that mean to you? What do you spend $10 a month on otherwise? Think about what you value for $10 a month, what matters, and think about how much you listen to 89.7 NPR News and how that how you value that. What would life be like every day without 89.7 NPR News? What would your day go like without All Sides with Ann Fisher? You know, that local talk show. It's not, they don't have them everywhere anymore. And we do keep it very local. We also love to bring that local flavor into your state news, into your national news. Thanks to Thomas Olexa in Dublin and Tiffany Hill in Hilliard for your support. We have 3 to go now and just 2 minutes left. Be the 3, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Again, that's 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org to show your support at whatever level is comfortable for you. I never want to ask people to feel like they have to overextend themselves. We want you to be comfortable with what you're with what you're showing in your support, but we do want you to show your support because this is the time. Again, to me, it's a celebration. It's not a negative time. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. I want to thank my guests, Doreen Neuhaus-Sauer and Tom Betty of the Columbus Landmarks Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. And I would come just for the free parking so I can say I got free parking from
free
OSU.
Parking at OSU. Exactly. Good point, Doreen. Once again, the number to call is 1-866-897-9678. This is listener supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and online at WOSU.org, a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News, global, local. Thank you, Donna McGavra in Columbus and Kimberly and Larry Davis in Dublin for your support. We have 1 minute left still, so get on the phone, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org and show your support for your local public radio station, 89.7 NPR News. We're here for you every day, no matter what. 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And thanks to everyone who called in today with their stories. We love them. Mm-hmm. Once again, thanks to Tom Betty and Doreen Neuhaus-Sauer of Columbus Landmarks Foundation for all your support of 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Erica and Leah Braswell in Dublin, thanks to you. Thanks again, and thanks to everybody for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We'll